Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Another prayer directed to God the Father for strength in the inner being, to be rooted and established in love, to understand the vastness of the love of Messiah so that we can reach our full potential. Honoring God who is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. Thankful that that same immeasurable power is working in us, guaranteeing that we will arrive at the goal. Paul prayed a couple of times earlier in this great letter to the congregation in Ephesus. Starting with verse 14, Paul prayed again. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Messiah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This prayer was motivated by a reason. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. The reason being that with the coming, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the Son of God, and the giving of the Spirit to those who know the three-in-one God and become loyal to the Father, Son, and Spirit, the faithful remnant of Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians become part of the family of God. These honorable, blessed sons and daughters of God form a new, unified humanity that's been reconciled to God and reconciled to each other. This family is full of peace and love and unity with the ancient division between Jew and Gentile gone forever. That's a great reason to kneel before God the Father, giving him thanks for creating this wonderful family, asking him to bless the other members of the family. For this reason, I kneel. The Hebrew word for knee is berech. To kneel, to get down on your knees, is how we get the word brucha, which means a blessing. To bless God means to get down on your knees, acknowledging his superiority. The idea is that we are lowering ourselves before the one who is higher and greater and superior to us. We're getting on our knees to acknowledge the superiority of the Creator. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Notice that in keeping with his earlier prayers, Paul, the Lord's divinely inspired representative, directs his prayers to God the Father. I kneel before the Father. Under the new covenant, this is the normative way to address our prayers. The sons and daughters of God pray primarily to God the Father. Because of our connection with and because of the mediation of the Son of God, empowered to pray by the Spirit of the Father and the Son. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. God is not just the Creator, He is also a Father. What characterizes a father? Creation of children, love for those children, care for those children, if possible, an inheritance reserved for those children. God is not just a father, He is a very good father. He created us, His children. He loves us intensely, profoundly. He cares for us deeply. And He has a great inheritance stored up for us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. The fatherhood of God is worth giving thanks to God for. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. There is a family in heaven made up of the other sons of God, the good angels. And there are families on earth made up of human beings. Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians are members of various earthly families. And through the good news, we also become part of another family, the family of God. We become the sons and daughters of God. The Father becomes our Father. The Son of God becomes our eldest brother. The other sons of God, the good angels, become our great allies. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. God has a name. In fact, He has a name above all names. He is Hashem, the name, which means He is the supreme person in the universe with the supreme identity. Hashem is the most unique one. And He created human beings in His image. And He gave each one of us a name, a unique identity. Our name, our unique identity, is derived from God's name, from God's unique identity. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He gave each one of us a unique identity. He also gave us a family identity. That means that if the family of the sons and daughters of God is to function the way God designed us to function, our identity must be firmly rooted in the fatherhood of God and in the family of God. Our earthly family forms a huge part of our identity. In a similar way, Paul wanted the Ephesians to know that understanding that God is our Father and that all of us are part of His family, that must be an essential part of our identity. We must constantly meditate on the fatherhood of God, to look to Him as our Father, to relate to Him as our Father, our Creator, our Provider, our Protector, our Rewarder, and that we are part of His family. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It's nice to have a father who is well off. Well, our Heavenly Father is well off. In fact, He is very well off. Fabulously wealthy, rich beyond our comprehension. And Paul understood that our Father wants, out of His tremendous riches, to be very generous with His children, especially with His spiritual riches. So, the rabbi's prayer continues. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Messiah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The focus of this part of Paul's prayer, as with his earlier prayers, is not on material riches, but on spiritual riches. Under the new covenant, God promises to provide for the needs of his children, to give us our daily bread. Wealth and perfect health are not guaranteed to us under the new covenant in this life, but they will be given to us one day when we receive our full inheritance in the kingdom of God. Knowing this, Paul does not pray for material enrichment for the Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians in Ephesus. Instead, he asks God the Father to bless them with great spiritual treasures. The first spiritual treasure that Paul prayed the Father would give them, that the Spirit of Messiah would powerfully live at the core of their innermost being, so that they could be very close to Messiah. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Messiah may live in your hearts through faith. The rabbi does not want them to have a shallow knowledge of Messiah or a minimal kind of loyalty to Yeshua or a life that reflects the values of the world rather than the values of the Messiah. No, he wants them to have a profound knowledge of Messiah, a very close relationship to Messiah. This happens through faith, by knowing who Messiah is and becoming loyal to him. Paul understood that Messiah is in a resurrected, glorified body, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So when he prayed that Messiah would live in their hearts, he's referring to the Spirit of Messiah, the Holy Spirit that the Father and the Son share. Paul is praying that the Spirit of God would be very close to the Ephesians, thereby bringing Messiah very close to them. That the Spirit of the Son would teach them about Messiah, transform them into the likeness of Messiah, enable them to share the values and the priorities of the Messiah, empower them to live like the Messiah and carry on the mission of the Messiah. So the first spiritual treasure that Paul prayed that the Father would give the Ephesians, that the Spirit of Messiah would powerfully live at the very core of their innermost being, so that they could be very close to Messiah and have a profound knowledge of Messiah and relationship to Messiah. The second spiritual treasure that Paul prayed that the Father would give them, that they would be able to know how much Messiah loves them. so that they could receive everything God had for them. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Messiah. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Love is the opposite of taking. It's giving to the one you love. It's caring. It's concern. It's the desire to see the one you love reach their full potential. Love does not come naturally to fallen human beings. It's hard for us to love. But it does come naturally to God. His very nature is one of love. Paul is asking God that the faithful remnant of Messianic Jews and Gentile Christians become rooted and established in love. Rooted like a tree is rooted in good soil, so that it's able to grow strong and healthy, so that it can produce much fruit. Established in love, so that love would be the firm foundation of their lives, that their lives would be characterized by love, that they would understand the importance of love, that love would be in their minds and hearts and thoughts, that they would love God and love each other and love fallen human beings who didn't love them. Only when we are rooted and established in love are we able to catch a glimpse of the amount of love the Son of God has for us. Paul prayed that the community in Ephesus, along with all of God's set-apart people, would be able to grasp how immense is the love that Messiah has for us. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Messiah, and to know this love that surpasses human knowledge. When things get difficult, some Christians and Messianic Jews question if God loves them. Have you ever wondered that yourself? The answer is, He does. How much does God love us? A little bit? No. The answer is a lot. More than we could possibly know. More than we could possibly understand. God's love for us is wider than the mighty oceans, longer than the Nile or the Amazon, the longest of rivers, higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest place on earth. How much does God love us? Enough for the Son of God to leave the glories, honors, and pleasures of heaven. Enough to limit Himself and become a human being. Enough to live among fallen, rebellious, sinful creatures. Enough for the Creator to be rejected by His creatures, arrested, unfairly tried, beaten, tortured, shamed, and crucified. That's how much God loved us when we were His enemies. Think about how much love He has for us now that we are His beloved sons and daughters. When we begin to understand how much the Son of God loves us, something wonderful begins to happen to us. We are able to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Because of the fall, human beings are alienated from God. We are not comfortable thinking too much about God. When Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, instead of running to God, They ran away from God and hid from Him. And humanity still has that orientation. We're not comfortable with God. We are running away from God and hiding from Him. But love changes all that. Love drives away alienation and drives away fear. Love makes us feel safe. When we understand how much God loves us, we are able to open ourselves up to God and pursue God and seek God in spite of our occasional failures. Then, loved by God and us trying to love Him back, we can then become everything God intends for us to be. We can reach our maximum potential as the children of God, and that's a lot. We can experience all the spiritual blessings that God has for us. We can produce the good fruit and the good works that God has for us. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Messiah, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you can be filled to all the fullness of God. What a great prayer. The rabbi from Tarsus really knew how to pray. But he also understood that no matter how well he prayed, the Lord was capable of responding far beyond the articulation of his best prayers. So Paul concluded this prayer acknowledging that. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, all we can imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church, and the church is the remnant of Messianic Jews and Christians from the nations who are called out of a dying humanity. To Him be glory in Messiah's community and in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul knew that our best prayers are too limited. Our best thoughts, our greatest imaginations of what God can do are too small for this great God. God is so great, so wise, so powerful that He is able to do far more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Does God really have that much power to answer prayer? Yes. And that same power is there for us right now, working in us, saving us, helping us, transforming us, protecting us, empowering us, teaching us, guiding us. So how can we fail? How can we not reach the goal? How can we not make it all the way to the New Jerusalem? Shouldn't all those join to the Messiah? The faithful remnant of Messianic Jews and Christians from the nations called out of a dying humanity respect God, honor God with their thoughts, their lives, their words, their service, their sacrifices, their actions. Isn't He worthy of our love and respect and devotion and honor now and forever and ever? And knowing this, shouldn't we commit ourselves to bring this message to the rest of the world who are estranged from God and alienated from Him and do not know the great love of God? What a great prayer to God the Father for strength in the inner being, to be rooted and established in love, to understand the vast love of Messiah, to help us reach our full potential, honoring God who is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, thankful that that same immeasurable power is working in us, guaranteeing that we arrive at the goal. Amen. Let's continue with our tefillot, our prayers.